Welcome to Love, Dating, and Chaos with Felicity Rican. We're back for episode 3 of Love, Dating, and Chaos with me, Felicity Rican. So I've had some interesting chats. Last week's chat was amazing. Thank you once again to Jordi and Niren for their insight into the shopping list. This week, I thought to myself, I'm going to put on my investigator hat, okay? Sherlock Holmes, but like a South African version. Or Angela Lansbury, but like a South African version. When it comes to the dating possibilities available, particularly for South Africans, we know that there's international sites you can use. But did you know that there are also sites that you can use that are made here in South Africa for South Africans? So I'm talking to two amazing women, Lisa Wolfart from Smooches, which is an online app, and I'm talking to Michelle DeLange from Mingle, who is, wait for it, a matchmaker. I think we should start with Lisa. The whole idea behind this podcast that I wanted to do in the first place was I have spent a lot of my life looking for love. I was married, got divorced, was single for a very, very long time. It became kind of not obsession with me, but like a real drang, you know. And so obviously I have tried all sorts of online dating. And I'm just fascinated by the process of love, finding love, looking for love. I know you have some insight into that because obviously you have your online dating service that's available. And the one thing that I found very fascinating about yours was how very in-depth you were about some of the questions. I was saying to my friends of mine, I was like, one of the questions was like, what size are your boobs? And which direction do they face? And I was like, wow.
The reason why it's so in-depth is so that when you actually meet somebody, you know, that they are some of those variables, that they've been sorted, you know, because there's a lot of hurt that takes place in love, you know. So especially with online dating, you might have a certain preference, okay, and you might think that that person is like that, and then you meet the person and the person isn't like that, and then you have to tell that person, listen, I'm not interested, or you ghost the person, or you don't see that person again. I mean, I've heard stories about people meeting in a restaurant, and then, you know, they sit down with a person, they thought the person was X, and then they go to the loo and they climb out the window, sort of thing.
A quick escape.
It's basically, I think, to protect both people, you know, to know exactly what you are getting. You know, some people are very visual, for instance.
Yes.
Okay, so the east-west boob will be a problem to them. You know,
here's me thinking men just want to see you naked, but apparently no,
they have their preferences. And even women, they say penis size doesn't matter, but it actually does. And that doesn't mean that all women prefer a big penis. Not that. Some are put off by one, you know, some are afraid of it. Some are, you know, so it depends. Some women are smaller and they don't want this large penis, you know.
But now here's the thing though, because that question is directed at the guys, which is like, you know, because I'm assuming you also are on the guy's profile, it's like,
yes,
what size is your penis?
For
Do you
sure.
not find that men are also always marking the very large box? Because are the men just not lying and being like, yes, I'm hung like a horse all day, every day?
Well, I'm sure they would want to. We do ask that people are honest,
yes,
you know, because it just gives you that chance, you know, those uncomfortable things, you know, those things that we feel, you know, insecure about. It's a chance to, just to say, this is me, take it or leave it. You like it or you don't, you know. If you don't, we're not going to match. I'm not even going to know that you don't like it or prefer something else.
Got you.
You know.
So what is your relationship status, if I may ask? And what has been your experience in the dating world from a personal perspective? What have you found that you kind of gone, this is terrifying?
I'm married for the second time. I was married for 21 years with my high school sweetheart. That didn't work out in the end. And then I met up with a friend of mine. Well, we continued to stay friends. We were friends from varsity. We met at varsity. And he got married in the meantime. He got divorced in the meantime. So he was single at the time. And, you know, we started a relationship and we got married. So I was lucky in that sense.
Yes, very lucky.
You know.
I'm a little bit jelly.
but he had a lot of experience on the dating scene.
Okay.
You know, so he was on every dating app.
Okay.
You know, so he knew or knows still the ins and outs of every dating app, where, you know, where the pitfalls were, what could be improved, that sort of thing. And he's quite technical. I'm not technical at all, you know, so yeah. So together we put the thing together.
Okay. I had a discussion, interestingly enough, with two ladies who do kind of in real life dating.
Yes.
That's their kind of focus. And they were talking about the fact that, like, they struggle to find older men to come to these real dates because older men aren't on social media.
Yes.
So where are you finding the interest is from 30 up, 20 up, 50 up? Are men signing up? Because I think women are always looking for the next best thing. So yes. Women kind of stay up to date with what is the newest, cleverest way to date, if that makes any sense. It doesn't matter what their ages are. Mm. And probably because we talk to each other, we're like, well, have you been on this one? Have you been on that one?
Yes.
Maybe it's because men don't talk to each other about these things or don't know. What are you finding in that space?
I was worried about that, you know, at the beginning, that we were going to have masses of women and few and far between men, you know, because that's sort of what one tends to find out there. Mm. But it's not like that. There are many men. In fact, it's almost like a 50-50 distribution.
Okay.
And I wonder whether it's because of the fact that you can sit behind your computer and you can do it and you don't have to put yourself
out there.
Mm. You know, it's out there, but it's not out there. Mm. You have to arrive, but, you know, it's not out there. So I've been very surprised by the amount of men. And I think more older people are open to technology. I mean, we have to, you know. So, yes, you know, there are many older people that we have to help. And we do, you know. They're like, but I can't load my photos and I can't do this. And I battle with this and whatever. You know? And I understand because I'm in my 50s and technology doesn't come that easily to me. It's because I don't work with technology every day.
Yes.
So we support older people who battle a bit with technology. But it's very user-friendly.
Yeah.
You know? But I find, you know, that because they don't have to actually show up, there's a lot of protection built in, you know, and especially in our app, there's a lot of protection built in.
So I had a conversation with the guys here at work, and they were saying to me that for men, finances don't matter as much as it does for women.
Okay.
They're quite okay with her earning less or not having such a great job because their focus is else. It's other. Whereas for me, I consider myself quite successful.
Yes.
And I'd like to be with someone who's preferably on my level or not even better.
Yes.
Because I love ambition.
Yes.
And I love drive and I find it very attractive. And even though I can take care of myself, I am going to say this on air and I probably, Ethan will hopefully cut this out.
Hey, it's Ethan here. I'm not going to cut this out. Ha ha.
I like the thought of someone taking care of me.
Yes.
And I know it's very old-fashioned, and I know for some people they're going to say, well, that's very patriarchal, whatever it is, and that's just the way it is. I like the thought of someone taking care of me.
It's traditional.
Yeah, it is traditional.
And it's okay because it's in our DNA. It's in our essence as a female, you know, and I'm sure there are many emancipated women who would want to stab me right now. But it's like if you take an elephant cow, okay? Who does she want as a mate? Who does she want to mate with? She wants to mate with the elephant bull who wins the fight with the other elephant bulls, okay? Because that secures her babies and the continuation of her herd, okay?
Gotcha.
So how does that relate to humans? We want somebody with ambition. We want somebody who can put our children through private school. We want somebody who can pay for our children's tertiary education. We want somebody, you know, we want that. And we also want the protection of a male figure who's stronger, who's all of those things. And how does that relate? That relates in terms of money nowadays, you know.
But you see, now the problem with this for me is that, and I agree with you.
Mm.
The problem with this, though, is if you look on social media, because of this inherent kind of traditional way that we want things, you now find a lot of men saying things like, she just wants the money. And it doesn't matter what you look like. If you were rich, you could have her, and she's a gold digger and that kind of. So how do you navigate that? How do you navigate the fact that I kind of am into a traditional relationship where the man is the provider, but not in a sense of I'm now a stay-at-home wife, because that's not happening either. So I'm also now working and stuff, but I still want this from you. I think it's very confusing for men, to be very honest with you. I think the world right now is very confusing to men. I think for women, it's a lot easier because we're kind of taking these giant leaps and massive steps and things. And I think guys are being left behind in a sense and don't know where they fit in. And particularly when it comes to relationships, because I think previously the relationship was, I can provide you with a house and I can provide you with food and blah, 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 blah. And you will be the stay-at-home mother of my children and take care of the house. Now we're like, I've got my own house as a woman. I can provide my own food. I've got my own job. And guys are like, okay, but what do I bring? And the more we say to them, we don't need you, we want you, the more they go, we don't know what that means.
I don't want to be a man during this time because I think, as you say, it's extremely confusing, you know. And I think the whole thing with money is that, you know, you say ambition is very attractive to you. And as women, power is very attractive to us, you know. And ambition and power, unfortunately, a big way of measuring it in today's world is with money, you know. It's sort of the currency of power and ambition. I think the big thing is, you know, within every human being, there's a masculine and a feminine. Okay. And the feminine is our nurturing, you know, that part of us which nurtures, and you get it in males and females, is our creative part. It's our intuition. It's all of those things, you know. And traditionally, you would find it more within women. The masculine in us is, you know, the get up and go, you know, the task orientated, the protective over, you know, our homes, our spouses, our children, our, you know, the more aggressive side. And traditionally that would be more male. Okay. So traditionally a man would be expected to be more in contact with the masculine within him, and a woman would be expected to be more within the feminine of, of herself, you know. Whilst I think what we are noticing in today's society, which is amazing, is that men tend to be more okay to be in touch with their feminine, and it has nothing to do with your sexuality, just with their nurturing, the softer side of them. And there are many women who are very masculine, you know. And I think if you are a woman who is successful, you know, so you've got that get up and go and you, you know, but at the same time, you remain within your feminine, okay? That's less confusing for men, okay? But if you're a woman with get up and go, aggressive, blah, 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 so you're very in your masculine. It's like men become like, it emasculates them. It's like, what do I do with you? Because you like a man. Now you like a man, you know, and how do I now feel like a man? How do I just fill that manly role in your life?
For sure, when you're already doing it.
When you're already doing it. And I think that's where the clash comes.
I agree with you. I do often think to myself, and I've been told that I'm very much in my masculine energy, because I think the one thing that independence and I suppose age teaches you is being more masculine. Because if you are doing it all by yourself, then the so-called need to have the person in your life dissipates. So if I can call a plumber or call an electrician or whatever it is, and I'm not saying that's the only thing men are good for, and I've got a great circle of friends and all that kind of stuff, then the need to have this person and to make space for this person. I think actually that's the problem, is the making space for that person. And the longer you're single as well, the harder it is to make space. I'll joke with friends and say things like, you know, you can't come to my house and eat food from my fridge. And I'm like, because I'm also not joking, but also really not joking.
Many a truth has been said in just.
Thank you. But I think you eventually forget how to compromise. And surely that's what relations are about, is about the compromise, the give and the take. And I don't know if I have the give anymore. Look, I'd love to think that someone would come in and I'd be like, course you can have the freedom of rage. But at the same time, I'm like,
just replace it.
Yeah, just replace it. Or why are you in my shower? I want to have a shower right now.
I don't know about you, but that was absolutely fascinating. And honestly, going on that app, some of those questions, I was like, wow. But she makes a lot of sense. I think it's time for story time. Story time from a man who's been on the apps. Take it away, Kholanchinga.
Hi, Phil. So I've been thinking about these odd dates, and I probably was the red flag when I was dating online, because I'm one of those guys who would chat. You know, you match with someone and then you chat and then it's a week later and then we still haven't gotten together. So, yeah, just a disclaimer. But I did eventually a couple of times go out on dates and met a girl, Joburger. She was great. She kind of understood the industry that we work in as well, which I thought was interesting. So she understands how media works, and we work odd hours and strange days and so on. And she's worked in the industry. So I thought, well, this might be helpful, because it's very difficult to explain to someone just exactly how things work. So, yeah, we went out on a date. She had a young one. And I also thought, fantastic, because, you know, I can cope with young kids because mine are still fairly young. And, you know, one of the dates was, we didn't get the kids together, but we took her little one out. I think the little one thought it was just like a meeting between adults. And that seemed to work pretty well. After a while, went back, you know, to her house, and, you know, we had a meal there, and that was great. And then her birthday was coming up, and then she asked if I'd join. Said she's going to have a couple of friends around. Would I be keen on joining them? And I said, look, it is on a Saturday, your celebration, and I work on a Saturday until fairly late, until about 10 o'clock at night. So I put the little disclaimer to say, look, I'll swing by afterwards, but it won't be for long, because I would have been, you know, at work for hours, and I know I'm going to be quite tired, and, you know, you need to have your wits about you when you're going to meet people who are already in party mode. So in I walk, Saturday, about 10 o'clock, still in my suit from work, and everybody's been very festive and jovial. And, you know, I met a couple of her friends who were still hanging around, and they seemed like a pretty nice bunch. And I thought, that's probably the reason that I'm there, so they can give me the once over, which is okay, and I understand that. And then afterwards, you know, the friends start leaving, and then I felt guilty and thought, well, I can't be the first to leave. I know I did say I'm just going to swing by for a few minutes. So decided, look, let me be the last person to leave, because I think it's good manners. And then everybody left, and we went and sort of sat on the couch and thought I was going to say, look, maybe a cup of coffee and then good night, and I'll see you, you know, whenever we decide to see each other again. And as I was sitting on the couch, she starts punching me. Like vrachtach, fists into a ball, and she was smacking me on my body, like not on my face or anything. And at first I thought, it's, you know, a bit of playful fighting, and then after a while I'm like, ow, 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 and I'm like, so what's the deal? And she says to me, well, I can't believe you rocked up so late, and you only stayed for so short, and I'm not happy with you. And I'm like, one, the violence is uncalled for. Two, I thought I'd made my excuse well in advance, you know, to sort of explain that this is just how life works, and thinking that she'd understand it, but seemingly not for her birthday. I still think back and I'm like, I'm not sure if she was thinking maybe I should take leave from work so that I can spend the birthday with her. But the thing is, we'd only been seeing each other for a couple of weeks. Like it hadn't even been a serious thing yet. And yeah, I took that as a red flag and thought, I can settle for a lot of things, but being punched on a inverted commas date is not one of them.
It's always nice to know that everybody's having interesting experiences. Let's get back to talking to Michelle DeLange from Mingle, who is an actual matchmaker. I think for a lot of us, men, women, whatever, the search for love is ongoing, unless you are happily married. And I think that with the rise of online dating, it's become even more complicated.
It is.
And it is often very messy, and there's often like crazy horror stories as well attached to it, which sometimes are very amusing. And I have a lot of them myself. Because how could you not? For me, I suppose, I reach a point where, and I think everybody does, at least once a year, once every 6 months, you go, ah, stuff it. I'm just going to stop looking.
Yeah,
I don't care. I'm over it. And we started chatting, and you know, it was very funny. I looked at your bio and it said like, so you're a matchmaker, but you're looking for love and you're divorced. And I was like, I need to know more. I need to know. Tell me everything. What has your experience been with the hunt for love, I suppose?
I started this business over 5 years ago. I was married to my childhood sweetheart.
Oh.
We knew each other we know each other for over 40 years.
Oh, wow.
He was the love of my life.
Yeah.
But some people, I guess, are just not meant to be. And I've come to realize that through my healing process.
Okay.
And my friends actually suggested when I was going through all my disappointments of the fact that the only way out would be a divorce. One of my friends was like, Michelle, try Tinder. And I'm like, Tinder? What the hell is Tinder? So I hopped onto Tinder and I'm like, no ways, there has to be something more to offer singles out there. So I did my research and I came across matchmaking, and I reached out to matchmakers internationally, and they sort of took me under their wing and they're like, Michelle, do the course, get your
Hold on, there's a matchmaking course you can do.
Oh, yes, I'm certified.
A certified matchmaker?
Yes,
okay, but
I
what
am.
Does that entail? How do you become a certified matchmaker?
There are several companies that you can do it through in America. It's a full-on course that you go online and you do it.
No way.
I'm serious. So it gives you the guidelines of the business, what you should, shouldn't do. It entails a lot. I got my certification and that's when I started the ball rolling. But then COVID hit and I was like, oh my word, now what? But that didn't stop me. I came across virtual dating. So I arranged dates between South African men and women in the Ukraine. But going back to me,
yes,
that the setup and just the startup of my business got me to heal and to deal with the pain that I was going through. And it made me realize that not everyone is meant to be. And I needed to come to terms with that. And I was at the lowest point in my life. And studying, going through this whole matchmaking process and learning from other amazing matchmakers out there actually gave me the strength I needed to push through besides my kids. So my focus sort of shifted. And then I started meeting the most amazing women that were coming to me for help. And I realized, Michelle, your story is nowhere near theirs. You know, you're doing this to help. As much as I'm trying to help them find love, we're helping each other heal in a way. So it's been a learning process from then to now. And I can honestly say I've come a long way, but I'm not 100% healed. And a lot of people will say, Michelle, why are you not in a relationship? I haven't met him yet. Because now I've done so much healing within that my bar has been raised, so I'm not going to settle. And I've told myself that my next guy is going to be my last guy. You know, we waste so much time and energy on the wrong person, and we get caught up in their world, and they rope us in, and they literally, some of them destroy us, and it takes us years to actually get back up on our feet.
I have to ask you something, though. Do you think that because you met your ex-husband when you guys were childhood, I suppose, sweethearts, who outgrew who? Because I often think that's a problem in when people get divorced. Somebody outgrows somebody, or they grow in different ways.
I think we both outgrew each other, but there was a lot of infidelity as well.
Really?
Yes.
Can I ask, was it from his side?
Yes.
Did you ever suspect that he was?
Yes, I always knew.
You always knew?
I loved him through it all. And the last straw was the last straw.
Why did you decide that you would rather stick with him, knowing that he was with somebody else the first time around, mm-hmm. rather than call it then.
I grew up in a home where my parents loved each other. They barely fought. And I wanted that. I wanted that family.
Mm.
I just wanted that for myself and my kids.
Mm.
So I kept holding on, kept hoping for a miracle, kept hoping for change, kept trying. And irrespective of what I did, it wasn't enough. And then I came to the realization that, you know what, it's time to move on.
I suppose also the realization that it's somebody cheating has got nothing to do with you and everything to do with them.
Yeah.
Does it make sense? Like, they are looking for something. It's not you that's looking for something. Mm. They are looking for something or someone to fill something within them.
Yeah.
This actually has got nothing to do with you. Mm. So how do you, I mean, you say that you've got kids. How do you explain to your kids that your dad's a great man or dad's a great dad? Or even, you know, if it was the other way around, your mom's a great mom, but they're not a great partner. I always find it interesting, like, how do you teach kids about infidelity and how it's wrong without demonizing their mother or father?
Yeah, that was a hard one for me because I didn't want them to disrespect their dad.
Yeah.
And I tried very hard to keep a lot from them. So I chose to carry it on my own because I brought them up that they should always respect their dad and others. So, but I think the older they got, it's like the flashlights came on. They eventually can see and they understand more.
Yeah.
So there's only so much you can hide from a child.
Mm.
And there was always lots of tension and arguing and fighting. And so it did affect them. And that's why I'll say to any parent out there that's staying in a relationship because of the kids, please don't.
Mm.
Please don't. It affects them terribly. If it's not working and you've tried everything, if you've been for coaching, you've done the last, it's time to walk out. Really, it is.
I'm a mom myself, and I personally believe that the bravest and the most responsible and the kindest thing you can do for you and your children is show them that you love yourself.
True.
Because they will then learn from you that within loving yourself, you're going to make some hard choices.
Yeah.
But you will walk out less hurt, less damaged because you chose yourself. And yes. It sounds very selfish, but I often say to my kids, always choose you first.
No.
Always choose you first, because if your cup is full, you can pour from it.
Exactly.
But if your cup is empty, there's nothing you can
exactly.
do. So you were saying you've got all these friends coming to you, or you met these amazing ladies who are coming to you. What kind of ladies did you start meeting, kind of going, yo, Michelle, set me up with a man?
Most of the clients that have come to me all have a story to tell. They've all been hurt. A lot of them are at executive level or above.
Okay.
Lots of them divorced. Some of them never married, no kids. They've put that all on hold to concentrate on their career and work, etc., to build their nest egg. And then they realize time is running out.
Oh, wow.
So then they reach out to me and they're like, Michelle, my clock is ticking. I'm worried about having kids. I need to find a husband. Can you help me? So I have lots of those.
And I find that fascinating. So it's these high-powered women who are, in a way, I suppose, doing what we've been told men do, or men have been told to do, which is succeed in your career, you know, build your nest egg, get the best there, and then I suppose like the roles are reversed a little bit.
Yeah, they have. Definitely have.
Are they women who are willing to... how do I say this without sounding like a brat? Willing to look after their partners, or are they wanting someone who's on their level or higher?
Definitely on their level or higher. They're not willing to compromise at all, because some of them have tried to date down and it never works out because the guy feels so intimidated by her success that it's constant arguing and tension and, doesn't work out.
So then I have to ask you this. So you said that you do virtual dating between men and Ukrainian women.
Yes.
I'm assuming for men it's completely different. They don't mind so-called dating down success-wise or career-wise.
They don't.
What is that about?
I think for men, especially our South African men, I've asked that question so many times and it's like, Michelle, I really don't want this high-powered woman to dictate to me. I'd rather have a woman that's grounded, down to earth, someone I can grow with. Not someone that's on my level or higher that's going to walk in with her money and start dictating to me and changing how I live my life.
So you obviously work with men and women. What are you finding that men are saying about women? Besides, you know, I don't want somebody who's high-powered, but what do you think men are struggling with within the dating world, in the context, I suppose, in the world, not necessarily South Africa? What are men struggling with? And is there something that we as women are doing that is making it difficult for men to reach out to us?
I find men are a lot more accommodating than women are in some ways. We all have this, I call it a speck in our minds where, of this person that we want and we're not willing to compromise in any way.
Why are you putting me out there like this?
When I send a profile out to a woman, she'll look at it. Oh, there's no chemistry from a picture. She'll rule him out immediately. A guy, I can still try and persuade them, depending on the ethnicity again.
Yes.
Because it's just so amazing how everyone thinks differently. And I can persuade certain people.
Yes.
I've learned to do that now. And it's for their own benefit at the end of the day. Because when they come to me, they're like, Michelle, my love life's in your hands. Help me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a journey. So when I tell you that this woman, I feel this woman is good for you, please understand that you need to meet her and give her the benefit of the doubt. Because looking at a piece of paper and seeing someone in person is worlds apart.
Absolutely.
And I just find our women are now becoming a lot more fussier. They like, okay, no, the job, no. Michelle, someone else. I'm like, really? You're not going to get everything. And that's why when I do my screening and vetting and I tell them, listen, I'm going to try my best, but I cannot tick all your boxes. I'm not a drive-through.
Yes.
That you stop and you're like, oh, okay, I want a guy that's tall, dark, handsome.
Yeah.
He's earning in the millions. He's blah, 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 with no kids. It's like, come on. It's impossible. It is impossible, you know. So, yeah, I think women and men, we have our downfalls where dating's concerned, and it goes back to where we've been hurt.
Mm.
It stems from that.
Okay.
So
what do you mean by that? I like
you carry that hurt into the next relationship, and you're literally like a hamster on a wheel because you keep choosing the same person in another body. So that's why I try to learn as much as I can about you.
Got you.
So that I know what not to look for in a person.
Ah.
So there's all these different things. It's you know, we all so unique in our own way.
Yeah.
And I always say I wish I had this magic wand where I could hook everyone up.
Do you not?
Just get you.
I thought that was in your handbag.
I don't. I wish I did.
Michelle, okay, it's great talking to you. Bye. I have to ask you a very personal question now because I'm just nosy. Tell me about the worst date you've ever been on.
I can't remember the worst date, but I can tell you a story about a date that I thought would go downhill and it turned out to be one of the most amazing
experiences
of my life.
Okay.
So I met this guy on Tinder.
Right.
And I actually said to my daughter, keep your phone on you in case I need you to bail me out. So he looks good in the picture and I'm like, okay, wow, he's really cute. I'm a looks person and I'm slowly getting out of that because in this industry, looks are not everything.
Mm.
It's what's inside the heart. Go on the date only to realize he's my height.
Okay.
First strike. And I'm like, no, why? Why? That means I go on to wear heels. I spent over 4 hours chatting to this guy.
Oh, wow.
He turned out to be one of the most amazing guys I've ever met. And we actually had a relationship.
Oh, so you end up dating him?
Yes, yes. Ah. But he's from another country, and he had to go back to his country. I actually saw him again last year for a brief catch-up.
Yes, yes, you did.
But yeah, there's just way too many things against us ever having anything serious.
Okay.
But he taught me that meeting someone that's your height is not bad. So, ladies, you with your, I need to look up at him, Michelle. I'm like, you know what? Give the guy that's your height a chance.
Even short kings deserve love.
They are amazing.
What for you are like your major red flags that everybody across the board, men, women, doesn't matter, should always be like, so far and no further? And then what are your major green flags where you're like, absolutely go for it?
Okay, red flags, there's lots. My first one would be if you need to walk on eggshells. Mm. If you cannot be yourself, major red flag.
Yeah.
If you cannot communicate how you feel, what you need to say, if something's stressing you out, if there's no flow between communication, major red flag. If he manipulates you in any way, she manipulates you, gaslights you, disrespects your values, disrespects your family, your children.
Oh, yeah.
If you go out for a dinner and disrespects the waiter, that for me says a lot about your character.
Yes.
Green flags are someone that sees you, wants to grow old with you, believes in your values. Loves you for who you are.
Okay, but I have to ask, I hear the green flags, but now, isn't that also something somebody who's very proficient at love bombing will show you in the beginning? I see you, I recognize your values, I respect you, I want to grow old with you, to kind of rope you in, and then to go...
They don't take that long to love bomb you, though. So I just feel... Everyone should be aware that love bombing can take place.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to have your guard up. So don't rush into something new.
Got you.
And tell your friends, oh, he's going to be my husband. He's perfect. He's blah, blah, blah. Wait. Wait. Just get to know him. And also don't investigate him, because that's what we women do.
What are you talking about?
we tend to investigate him.
Never. Never have I ever,
you know,
sent people's details to my friends and gone, go do all the research you can.
Yeah. So, you know what? Just take baby steps. If something is meant to be, it will be. And you'll feel so comfortable around him. He will feel so comfortable around you that you just work and it flows. We all want that happiness. We all want that relationship. But it takes lots of work, and it takes two people that are invested in each other to get there. Not one pulling one way and
for
the
sure
other.
Pulling the other way.
Yeah.
So now, right in the beginning of the conversation, you mentioned the African men and Ukrainian women. Isn't that like really just mail order brides?
No, you do get them. There are matchmakers out there that they advertise that way, that they're looking for husbands immediately. And then you get matchmakers like myself, which most of them are, which talk about relationships first. And if you want to get married, then get married. But I'm finding more and more people are opting not to get married. They're like, Michelle, I want the long-term relationship
Why
first.
Why Ukrainian woman? What is that about? Is it a cultural thing?
I have guys that are specific. I have a guy at the moment that's asked me for a Russian woman.
Okay, but why Russian? Like, are we literally looking for that blonde, big boobed? Is it like a physical thing?
It could be. And he's also learned the language.
Okay.
He's well traveled. Okay. So, yeah, that's what he wants. So I'm going to look for one for him. I also have a guy in Dubai that reached out to me. So I work with people globally, a guy in New Zealand. But I just find the international guys, are a lot more accommodating, and they a lot more open.
Got you.
Yeah.
Got
compared
you.
To our guys.
Got you.
Yeah.
Tell me about your dream man.
Oh, my dream man. You know what? After dating this foreign guy, I came to realize that there's hope in this world for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And one shouldn't look at the outward appearance. One should look at what he has to offer you
mm-hmm.
from his heart.
Mm-hmm.
I want a foreign man.
Okay.
I want someone that I can grow old with, someone that is loving, kind, authentic,
mm.
someone that is financially stable. He doesn't have to have millions, no.
Mm.
Someone that is focused and has a vision for the future.
Gotcha.
Someone that keeps me on my toes in a way.
Yeah.
You know what? We have these conversations that just flow. Yeah, I could go on and on, Velicity, but at the end of the day, it's, you know what? For me, a man has to bring out the best in you if he's right for you.
Yeah.
And I'd be able to pick that up. And I think a lot of men would be intimidated by wanting to date me as well because of the industry I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in. I wish you nothing but love.
Oh, thank
you. I wish that he comes across your path and you are, and I mean this in the nicest way, you are swept off your feet because of telling me what you went through with the infidelity and the hurt and working through that hurt, I think you deserve to be loved and to be cherished.
Oh, thank you.
And allowed to be the wonderful woman you are, knowing that you are safe and can be vulnerable and this person won't take advantage and hurt you in that way.
Oh, thank you so much, Felicity.
It's an absolute pleasure.
I wish you everything of the best as well, and I'd love to help you.
Well, we're going to talk right after this because, you know, maybe I haven't given up on love. Literally every day I'm like, I give up. Oh, I haven't given up. I give up. Oh, I haven't given up. I don't know about you, but the conversation with Michelle has brought up so many questions for me. Things regarding infidelity, staying, dating with children. But then obviously with infidelity as well, it makes me think about, is monogamy actually a thing? Polyamory, polygamy, things I really need to cover at some point in time. Oh, I must remember that. Ethan, remind me of that.
Fine.
And of course, Lisa's conversation as well about knowing what you want. Just really, really great. So I have so many more questions. One of them, I think I'm going to cover in next week's episode. I think because we asked the Africans, we're a multicultural melting pot. Is dating different in different cultures? And I think I want to speak to someone who's got, let me just say, a lot to say about it. So before we wrap up this episode, I thought I should share some of my safety tips. It's a bit of a PSA. It's the things that I do to hopefully stay safe. One of the things I like to do is I like to do a video call before I meet the person. I need to know that the person that I'm seeing or I'm going to meet is actually the person that I'm talking to. So I think a video call is really important. I also, personally, I would not have anyone pick me up at where I live. And I wouldn't get into their car with them personally because I don't know you. So even though we might have been talking for months and getting along like a house on fire, I still don't know you. So I don't let people pick me up and I definitely don't get into a car, you know, on my first date. The other thing I don't do on a first date is I don't go out for like dinners. I don't do evening dates. I feel like we can go out for a coffee or a daytime something because what if we get there and I'm like, or you're like, ew, not her. I mean, that would never happen. Have you seen me? But still, I like to give both of us an opportunity to, you know, have a chance to make that rapid decision, which you can make, and then take it from there. And of course, this PSA is going out to both men and women. The other thing that I like to do is I like to take some kind of defense thing with me. So be that pepper spray, be that something that I can defend myself with in case of a dreadful situation. I also saw something once on Oprah, which I have still stuck by and I've taught my girls, and I believe this goes for men and women. Never go to the second location. The second location is perfect for the aggressor. They probably know it. They know the layout. It is a comfort place for them. You don't. You're putting yourself on a back foot. Then, of course, some of the other things I like to do, believe it or not, is I've taken photos of people's license plates and sent them to friends. I've also obviously let people know who I'm going with and where I'm going, and have said to them, call me in half an hour, in an hour, whatever it is. And then I have also, this is going to sound a bit psychotic, but I sincerely believe that if you're not a serial killer, then this wouldn't bother you. I have answered phone calls from friends who have called me on dates at the table and said to the person I'm with, it's just my friends checking up to make sure that you are not trying to murderize me. I sincerely believe that if the person I'm with gets offended by that, then their intentions probably weren't very good anyway. If they don't get upset by that, then, I mean, I could be wrong once again. You know, psychopaths are out there. If they don't get upset about that, but it gives me comfort. So make sure that you tell people where you are. Take a license plate. Stay safe. And like I said, this is for men and women, because I have heard stories of men being lured in situations by women where there are other possible aggressors that can then take advantage or hurt them or kill them. For everyone out there who is looking for love, look for love, but keep your head screwed on. Stay safe. And we'll chat again next week. That's it from me, Felicity Rican, on this week's episode of Love, Dating, and Chaos.